another episode of the Voices of Legacy podcast on WGTE Public Media with your friend, your servant, your, well, hopefully something nice, Pastor Carl. And we have the distinct honor of speaking with a pretty interesting fellow for all that I've read, but I can't wait to talk to him, none other than the mayor of Perrysburg, Ohio, Mr. Tom Mackin. Welcome, Mr. Mackin. Am I pronouncing your name?
Yes, you are.
Your name right?
Just, okay. Tom works great, so thank
Good
you very
go.
Much.
Good to go. Tell us some things about yourself before we get into it.
Been mayor for almost 8 years. This is the last year of my term. I am term limited, so this December 31st, I will no longer be the mayor of Perrysburg, much to the joy of, I'm sure, some people in the community and my family, I'm sure. But I've really enjoyed my experience as mayor and serving the residents of Perrysburg.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So you've been the mayor for 8 years, and this is it for you.
Well, yes, this is the end of
for
this position. Yes, certainly.
I get the sneaking suspicion that you're going to be active in something.
Well, I don't plan on just fading away, but I don't really have a plan for what I'm going to do next. I get asked that a lot, but I don't have a plan.
And I say that because it seems like you really do have a heart for your community. Is that true?
I do, and I've been involved in public service since 1998, and it's really, I think, been something that's made me a better person, and I really enjoy it, and I care a lot about Perrysburg, and I'm going to continue to care, so I'm going to still be involved somehow.
So we're going to start with the long road to becoming mayor of Perrysburg. Before you were ever mayor, you did a lot of other stuff, according to what I can see.
I like to stay busy, yes.
Yeah. So what led you to public service?
Well, public service was always something that was really important to me growing up. My father was a judge in Avon Lake, Ohio, which is where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so public service, commitment to the community were things that were just part of who I was. And when I moved to Perrysburg, we loved Perrysburg, and we were just starting to raise our family. And somebody came up to me and said, hey, you'd be good at being involved in local government. I'd already been on a couple boards or committees, just kind of being involved. And they said, well, you should run for office. And I luckily was able to get appointed actually in 1998 to the city council and then ran the next year. So that's how I got started. But somebody who was on council, Walter Hales, really just said, hey, you look like somebody who cares about the community, isn't tied to anything really. Like an agenda or anything. You're not running because you didn't get something. You just want to serve, and I think you'd be a great addition. So it was his mentorship and guidance that got me on council, and I really want to thank him. It was really good of him to see the talent that I didn't know I had.
Gotcha. So you're somewhat of a mentor.
Yes, very much so.
And you were appointed, not elected.
I was appointed for the first time in 1998 and then ran the next year. So to get appointed, I went through an interview process, and four council members voted for me to fill a vacant seat that had been created because the then mayor, Reeve Kelsey, became a judge, and then a person on council became the mayor. So there was an open seat, and Tim McCarthy and Walter Hales and Gary Samples really kind of pushed me to do it, and I'm very glad that they did.
Wow. So what was the reaction to your appointment as opposed to being elected?
There wasn't much opposition. I think most people in Perrysburg, people generally serve because they want to contribute to something. So there wasn't really a lot of, I would say, backlash at all. And I jumped right in and began working with all the council members. And I think that's one of the things that helps make Perrysburg a special place is that generally there's not a lot of big politics. There's not the rancor and the exposure at national politics doesn't really trickle down or hadn't to the local level. We're all working together to make Perrysburg better. And so some of the council members who were on at the time, Joe Lawson, Kim Kalur, have become friends. And they said they opposed my appointment just because they didn't know me. But once they got to know me, been a good experience, became friends.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I enjoy going through Perrysburg and I kind of fellowship with some ministries down there. It seems as though growth has been exploding in your neck of the woods.
Yes, it really has been. It's an issue, and it's been something that is both really good and it causes some downside.
Like, I mean, an issue and an opportunity?
Yes, very much so. So a lot of communities in Northwest Ohio would really like to have the same problems that we have. They'd like to have the problem of growth and expansion and being able to do more things because people are attracted to the community. Mm-hmm. The downside is that that causes growing pains. That causes stress on the infrastructure. You need more police and fire. Yes. It has an impact on the schools. There's lots of really kind of there are intended consequences, but there are things that we've tried to plan for. And I think one of the things that is hard to get out to the public when they're talking about the problems with growth, how that all fits into a bigger picture of that growth actually has a lot of benefits to you as a taxpayer, has benefits to the community at large, and we're not struggling in a situation where a lot of communities that are shrinking in size can't provide the same services that they used to provide. They can't fix the roads. They can't fix the infrastructure. And so then you're deferring capital costs. And those all end up being shifted to you as a resident, as opposed to a community where you're growing and you're increasing the business and diversifying the tax base by having new businesses move into town. So there's a lots of things that dynamic growth generally is good. We have to make sure that we continue to plan for it. We continue to invest in the community, invest in the infrastructure that will make us successful, and also explain why the growth is beneficial to you as a taxpayer and to the region as a whole, because Northwest Ohio is also struggling with the loss of population and some other things. If we can attract young families to the community, Perrysburg or others, that's good for Northwest Ohio. And what's good for Northwest Ohio is generally going to be good for the entire region.
That's true. And that seems to be the dynamic with most of the larger cities. In most states, and definitely in Ohio, surrounding Lucas County, there's plenty of cities that are growing as Lucas County has lost darn near 30% of its population within my lifetime.
Yes, that's really, and that's one of the things I think we've talked about as a community, and I know in the region, is we don't want to just shift residents from Lucas County, from Toledo, outward to the suburbs. I think that's kind of changed a little bit. That dynamic was happening, but I don't think it's really happening as much as it had been. The real dynamic now is, can we attract people and businesses from outside the region to invest in Northwest Ohio, in Toledo? And I think that's really kind of the dynamic that's changing, because I think there's a much different perspective on the notion of that we're all in this together.
Yes.
And just moving from Toledo to Sylvania, Maumee, Perrysburg isn't really generally going to be that great for the entire region. And I think that's the same for businesses. There used to be a lot of businesses who would move from Lucas County to Perrysburg or Northwest Wood County. I don't think that's happening as much. I think what everybody agrees that the best way to move forward is to attract new businesses, to attract new investment, to empower new development or smaller businesses to grow and expand, and that's good for the region.
Yeah. I had the mayor of Toledo and the mayor of Rossford here thus far, most recently, and I think one of the things that we all agreed upon, the benefit of attracting business is the infrastructure that we have and the support. And as you're mentioning, I think very directly, being prepared for growth, even the things that are unseen. You know, when people are coming, you kind of got to know that they're coming, and then you have to take care of them so that tax base expands based on that instead of increasing the taxes for those that are already there.
Yes, and there's two parts to that. There's the what we've done as a community is make sure that our land use plan and our structure of where we're going to develop, how we're going to develop, is in place, and we get community involvement with that. So that's something that we did probably 3 or 4 years ago. That was a primary focus of when I got started my second term, was let's make sure our land use plan has everybody in the table, schools, businesses, community leaders, like the Chamber of Commerce and those kind of things, and also residents. How are we going to grow? Because we have been very successful. The other part of that is, I know that people talk about this, especially in relationship to schools, is can we diversify the tax base? And so we as a community and as a city leadership have really been working to do that. As you will see, if you go to Perrysburg now, you can see there's a whole new ProMedica building. Mm-hmm. There's a whole Mercy Hospital has grown and expanded. There's other economic development growth on 25 down towards Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. Schutz Container and some of the buildings that are in the back of Levis Commons have grown and expanded. So while Perrysburg used to be very much a rooftop community, now it is more diverse than it was. There's still opportunities there. But I think that we've begun the process of being much more proactive to attract businesses. I think location yes. is the first thing that businesses who are looking to move or relocate look at. The next is they look at how are your schools and how is your community doing. And we've been really very much involved in those discussions. And it takes time because there's lots of competition out there. And we also have just kind of a different feel. We don't have huge tracts of land where you could build an Amazon. We just don't have that in our portfolio, and we don't have that much space. So how do we attract businesses that can bring in quality investment into the community, grow the community as far as its economic impact without putting a lot of burden on the infrastructure? That's another part of economic development is those generally don't cause the same kind of structural stresses that other types of development could cause.
Has one of those stresses been an increase in any type of property crimes or anything of that nature?
We, thankfully, and I do knock on wood on this, have been very fortunate that our crime rate has gone down for the most part. Mm-hmm. We have some situations where there seems to be some targeting of particular types of near visitors or near businesses, but it doesn't seem to be a whole pattern. And we've been very fortunate that we have not had that type of rise in crime, and also that we've been able to keep our police staffed in such a way, trained in such a way that we have pretty good coverage. That's always something that I think is every city elected official always worries about is, do we have enough police and fire? Because that is a core business function. That has to be something we focus our attention on. And we've also worked very diligently to make sure our police are trained at a very high level. Police have and fire have such a difficult job. They see people on their worst day. Mm-hmm. So how do you have your good day and do your job well while somebody else is having their worst day? So we've spent a lot of time making sure that our team is very well trained, that leadership is well trained, and that they pass down the notion of the importance of service to the community, being engaged with the community. And I think that that has really shown some good outcomes for us.
Awesome. So to community engagement, and usually I talk about you more than anything else, but we've already dug into this. Throughout your tenure, have you had opportunities for the community to kind of get engaged more so in all of the stuff that you're talking about? It seems as though the people that have lived there most of their life, they would be interested in that other than just seeing what's going on the news. I mean, even with the school system, I mean, everybody's seen, you know, that Perrysburg is struggling with this, that, and the what have you done during your tenure to get the community more engaged in the decision-making processes for the growth?
That's a really good question. And I would say one of the really great things about Perrysburg and one of the most frustrating things in elected officials is that the community is very much engaged at all different levels. I would say, give a couple examples. One, the ODOT just had a public forum, a public open house about the Divergent Diamond that's going to go in on State Route 20. Yeah. And it was very well attended. And so a lot of people have comments, a lot of people have concerns. And one of the things is, Perrysburg elected official, you don't have to worry about people coming to these events because they're engaged.
They're going to come.
And I would say that the best example that where community engagement has led to an outcome that is beneficial to the entire community is we've been working on our downtown, uptown, depends if you've been to Perrysburg a long time. Some people call it uptown. Uptown Perrysburg, downtown Toledo. We've been working on that downtown improvement project for a long time. The part of the heart of Perrysburg is the downtown that is really busy on the farmers market. People are going to eat and enjoy the community, get to the waterfront and other things. And so we upgraded it 25 years ago, and it's now like a kitchen, time for an upgrade. It's
nice, but you know, I find that a lot of people that aren't from here have no idea that there's a downtown or uptown Perrysburg. I know because I was born in Toledo. But how do you kind of...
Well, and that's one of the things. When we started this project, one of the issues was making it more accessible, ADA compliant, making it more user-friendly. And so change is hard, and you had a lot of people who were concerned about various things, and those were legitimate concerns. So we did have a number of public open houses to engage the community, and those raised some legitimate concerns and also offered a number of really good suggestions how to make it more user-friendly, how to address some concerns to make sure that it was preserve the historic sense that the community has. And that's really important to Perrysburg. I mean, one of our brands, but also who we are, is a historic community with the fort and
Commodore Perry.
Right. So one of the things we did was we had at one of the public forums, we had some residents suggest, well, why are we stopping at north of the railroad track? So just from basically the Commodore Perry monument or statue in the park at the end of the Louisiana Avenue to the railroad tracks. They're like, well, why aren't you continuing it from south of the rail tracks by the library to Indiana Avenue? And we said, well, that's a good idea. Let's take that's a really good idea. Let's take a look at that. It addressed some of the issues that the community had been raising about parking, made it more connected, and brought a whole different feel to that section, so that downtown is essentially enhanced, not just for a block or two, but for an entire three or four blocks. And I think that that's really going to make a great addition. That's what we're starting. Actually, we're going to start at that part this spring. It's already in the works. And we've gotten really good feedback about that suggestion, which was driven by the community. So listening, making sure that you then follow through on what the suggestions are, I think has been something I know I'm very conscientious of as the mayor. And I think that my entire team is very conscientious of that. If you get emails or texts from residents, make sure that they go somewhere and that they get responded to. I think that that's really something that's core to being transparent to the community, that they feel that they are—
They're being heard.
They're being heard. That's exactly right.
Yeah. One thing I do miss in Perrysburg, and I guess we run up on time, it's a very good conversation, is my favorite hotel. That's no longer there at the expressway. The wonderful resort with the wonderful indoor pools. I took my youngest sons there when I was moving back here in 2014. Had no idea. It kind of looked like it was about to be shut down, but I didn't know for sure. It's jarring to pass by that, and it's no longer there. How's that new development going?
Well, I think that that's one of those. There's a lot going on out there, right? That you could see the struggle of a kind of that kind of hotel had passed its time. The new development there is packed all the time, and that causes its own problems with infrastructure. And State Route 20 is really jammed. And, of course, that creates its own other problems because some of that is in the city. Mm-hmm. Some of that is in the township. Some of that is in Rosford. Yeah. And so you have a whole bunch of— and
that's true. A lot of people don't know that. Right there at the Walmart, that's Rosford.
That's Rosford. The where that building was is in the township. Mm-hmm. Across the street is in the city. So you have a whole bunch of political dynamics that I think historically contributed to that happening. I don't think those are as present anymore. I think all of us realize that, like, the mayor of Rosford and the trustees from the township, we all have to work together. What benefits them benefits Perrysburg and vice versa. So we all need to work together because our community, our region is growing, and that growth is both good, but it does have negative impacts that we have to plan for and address.
Wow. Well, I guess change, if you embrace it's good.
Change can be good.
You have to get in where you can fit in. I was at a symposium 2 weeks ago having to do with a lot of the national stuff, how it's affecting us locally, and the grant and all the changes and whatnot. And I think what we get out of change is, if you don't understand what's going on, one, educate yourself, then how does that benefit me, and how can I help other people understand the same thing? I think you've done a good job in communicating to your constituency. As you prepare to conclude your services as mayor, and that sounds so final. I know you is from reading about you. I know this is the first time we met, but I got a really good feel that you're not going to not do anything. What personal lessons have you learned, and how have you evolved to a vision based on your experience of staying connected to the community and pressing the message of the growth in Perrysburg towards the future?
Well, I think I'm a lot different public servant than when I got appointed in 1998.
In a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. I think that there's been a lot of personal growth, not just about how you do business, but how you interact with people. I'm generally a shy person. I have learned to make sure that I listen before I speak, that I understand where people's perspective is. And people come and want to be heard. And in a community like Perrysburg or Toledo, they will stop you at the grocery store. They will stop you at a soft sell ice cream place if you happen to go there, or just when out and about getting coffee. And they stop you not because they want to bother you. And as a matter of fact, they're a little bit hesitant to that. But they want to probably convey a question or concern that they don't quite know. So I think one of the things I have learned is to make sure that you're listening and that you're engaged to the person, because it may not be something you can solve. It may not be a big issue, but it is a big enough issue to that person that it requires that you acknowledge that it exists, that there's something that they're rightly considering, and how can I help them get some solution. So I think the other part of that is people have so much more ways that they can communicate with you than in the past. Yes. They don't just don't phone you or stop you, but they can text, they can post on social media, which sometimes is very frustrating because they don't know all the facts. But I think when people come and really communicate with you, that you have to then make sure that you respond, and that we make sure our team, like if somebody complains about a road or a sidewalk or something, that they're getting response from not just from elected officials, but probably more from our city engineer or our street division. Why is this park doing this way? And I think that that's a message that we have to keep working on through our entire team, is that we best do our jobs when we're transparent and that we explain to people. Now, they're not always going to like the answer. But if you give them a very good answer and explain it in a manner that is understandable, either because of financial reasons or safety reasons or for any other reasons, then at least they appreciate that you communicated with them. And I think that that's been really something I've learned. I guess I understood when I started, but as I've gotten older, I think that that's really something that is very important to be a good public servant, is to make sure that you listen first, talk second.
You've alluded to your age quite a few times. You look pretty young.
Everybody points out my white hair, but
Donahue had white hair. He was pretty young.
I'm experienced. I've been in public service for 25 years, and been an attorney for 35 years. So I graduated from the University of Toledo in 1990. So I've been in Perrysburg for 35 years, and we've raised our family here, and it's been a really great community, same as Northwest Ohio.
Awesome. It doesn't seem like you're very shy either, but nevertheless, I digress.
That's what all the behavioral studies show.
So what I'm hearing, I guess, is an attempt to erasure of the line between the bureaucracy, which is necessary. A lot of people speak negatively of the system and city government and the citizenry. That's very important, that that open line of communication is there. Even as you said, you may disagree because you don't have understanding, or you may disagree because you have an honest disagreement that needs to be expressed that the city should consider. So I think that's a really good thing. We try to do that even in Lucas County. We have coffee with cops to try to kind of erase the presumptions, and formerly being in law enforcement myself, the presumptions of the police being the bad guy.
Right.
You're not the bad guy.
No.
Not unless you are a bad guy.
Not unless you're doing something wrong.
Exactly.
That's correct.
And anybody that's there that has a negative mindset, they probably shouldn't be. But if you have a relationship, and that's what I hear from you, making relationships with those that are responsible for the community is ever so important.
Yeah, and I would, to your point about bureaucracy, the city of Perrysburg has anywhere between 150 and 200 employees, depending on the season, and we have some seasonal employees. Those people are really dedicated to their mission, and a lot of really talented, skilled people serve the community. And it's one of those things that goes unstated because they're doing their job well. So you don't realize how much work goes into plowing the streets, making sure the roads are planned out, and that the engineer is planning these things, and that when you turn the water on, the water comes out and it's clean and drinkable. When you flush the toilet, it goes to a facility and does what it needs to do. That is part of our core mission, is the public utilities and those kind of things, police and fire and the parks. And that takes a lot of commitment from a lot of very talented people who really, one of the things I've got to enjoy as a city mayor and as a council member is the people who work in the wastewater treatment plant. You're not going to hear about the wastewater treatment plant very often. You're not going to hear about our water division very often. Those people do a wonderful job, are really committed.
That's usually a good thing.
Yes, that's really good. It's good that you don't hear about them. Yeah. And that's one of those things that I think gets, when people talk about how the cost of government and other things, well, that one of the reasons there's a cost is that you have very talented people making sure that you don't ever have to worry about it or talk about it because they're doing their job well. And we're very fortunate in Perrysburg to have that kind of team.
Next to the last question, and this is going to be a doozy for you. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. Lincoln Logs, Legos, or blocks?
Yes to all. we had Lincoln Logs when I was growing up. We had a lot of Lincoln Logs, and they were all over the house. Uh-huh. And we did not have the very cool Legos that they have now. Our son played with them when he was growing up, and it was pretty cool to have. I mean, we would make models with the plastic and the glue, and basically he would do the same thing with the Legos. So anything that helps you imagine, and when you're a kid, that you're playing and engaging and using your mind to do something, big fan.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Good answer. Good answer. It's not a bad answer for that. Wrong answer, by the way. Last question. And this is the real doozy. What are your hopes and aspirations for Perrysburg in the next decade? And how do you think you would fit in to being involved in the community and not being mayor anymore? What do you think your legacy as mayor is, and what would you like for it to be?
Well, when I first got elected, I said that we were going to hire the best staff and have the best team, and that we were going to be transparent and bring projects to the community that needed to be done, and we would do them on time and under budget in an excellent fashion. And and I think that I said that 7.5 years ago. I think that still holds true. We're in the process of doing a number of things that have been in the works for a while. So I think the next several years will show the downtown project will be completed. The city has needed to improve and expand the city building, which has served the community for a long time, but needs to be upgraded and improved. And so more access and more transparency will happen with our, we've already started the process of building a new building, or we purchased a building, I should say. It was going to be very expensive to build a new building. So we purchased a building at the corner of Front Street and East Boundary. It had been a Mercy Health building, and we're going to make it more one-stop shopping.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to make...
Well, that's a good-sized building.
Yeah, it's a big, good-sized building. So we're going to move some of our... Like, our tax department has been in the basement, and that's not the best place to be able to talk to the tax people during tax season, which we do appreciate if you pay your taxes in a timely manner. And then, but the staff is in the basement, so they're going to now be on the main floor, have windows and other things that will make it better. So I think one of the things that you can only do so much, there's limits to what you can do as a mayor, but what you can do is make sure you have the best staff, that we've made sure that we've trained them and that they want to come to work and they want to serve. I think we've checked that box, so I think that would be one of the legacies. We prepared the community for the future as best we can, in the sense that we've developed the plans for economic development growth, for infrastructure growth, and for quality of life growth. We've improved Hood Park and Orleans Park. We're building multi-use paths. And that brings that sense of community that I think is very important to any place, and especially in Perrysburg, where if you feel connected to the community, you're part of the community. Yeah. And our downtown is part of who we are. And so that the more people use the downtown, go to the farmer's market, shop locally, eat locally. Get out to the pier. That all builds. So that we've done things hopefully that box will continue to be checked and will continue to be expanded. I think we're in a position where we've had growth. We can continue to control the growth. But we are now one of the largest, fastest growing communities in Northwest Ohio, if not the fastest growing. We need to make sure that we do that in a way that is conscientious of who we've been as a community, our historic background, our historic experience, but also that we continue to move forward so that we're not afraid of change. We need to accept change, prepare for it, and hopefully take advantage of it to make the community someplace where I want to continue to live, and I think others want to continue to live there as well.
Awesome. Well, we're done for the day, but I just have one question that's just on the tip of my tongue. Do you have any idea who's going to replace you?
Well, there are three candidates that they've already filed. So Mark Weber, a city council member, very nice member of the community. He's lived in Perrysburg, grew up in Perrysburg, been a nice addition on council. And I like working with him. Deborah Bourne is also a longtime community member and
familiar
former council
name.
Member. Yeah, and Aaron is a the last candidate. So there's three people, and they're running a primary to choose two. Aaron's a very nice, talented young individual. I really like meeting with him and working with him. I think he's got a really bright future, so I'm glad he's engaged in the process, because I do think the election process is important, that we have, that residents have choices. I do hope that he continues to stay engaged and involved, because I really think he has a great
he's
promise.
He's kind of young, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very young.
That sounds pretty exciting. So. Good things for Perrysburg.
Good. Yes, hopefully.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us today on the Voices of Legacy. We went a little bit long, but I thought it was engaging. You answered all the questions excellently.
Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate
care very much about Perrysburg. I'm happy to toot its horn.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.